puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Gordon Goldsborough is here to tell us about this week's episode of Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we discussing this week?
Well, Manitoba's business community has a long and distinguished history. In fact, we have in our province what is arguably the world's second oldest mercantile business, the Hudson's Bay Company. Established in 1670, it is now operated continuously for 354 years. Just mind-boggling how long that is. Other businesses in Manitoba, well, clearly they don't have so long a history, but there are nevertheless many firms that have existed nearly as long as our province and which are still operating today. So this week we are talking about some long-lived Manitoba businesses.
Okay, so the HBC is Manitoba's oldest surviving company. What's the second oldest?
Well, it's a very close business. The HBC had competitors in Eastern Canada and the United States. And one of those competitors, it was initially a loose-knit group of traders in Montreal, organized itself into the Northwest Company in the early 1780s. In 1785, the Northwest Company opened its first post in the area that would become Manitoba, called Pine Fort. It was located in present-day Spruce Woods Provincial Park in western Manitoba. In 1821, the Northwest Company ceased to exist, in name at least, when it merged with the Hudson's Bay Company. But in 1987, it returned when the HBC spun off its northern retail stores and the Northwest Company was reincorporated as a separate corporate entity. Well, today, the Northwest Company operates retail stores across northern Canada and also in Alaska, and I consider it the spiritual successor to the Hudson's Bay Company, which has become, well, really not much of a difference from a lot of other stores. It's basically a retail operation in southern Canada. It's really distantly removed from its fur trade roots.
So the two oldest retail stores were involved with the fur trade. What is the oldest surviving company that did not have roots in retail merchandising?
Well, the next oldest Manitoba company is a law firm that started in 1871. Now, jump forward a century to 1971, and that firm merged with another group of lawyers. At that time, the practice among law firms was to name themselves after their senior partners, and if this new merged firm had done so, it would have been called, wait for it, Darcy, Irvings, Haig, Smethurst, Smith, Swift, McLeod, and Deacon. Imagine a receptionist trying to answer the telephone with that mouthful. Instead, they took the names of the two most respected senior lawyers they had, one from each of the two merging firms, to become Darcy and Deacon. And that's Manitoba's oldest law firm.
Now, aren't there other Winnipeg law firms that claim to be Manitoba's oldest?
There are several law firms that like to tout their long existence. And, you know, maybe they see it as a sign of their stability or their accumulated corporate wisdom. So I think runners-up for the title of Manitoba's oldest law firm include MLT Akins, formed in 1879, Pitblado from 1883, and Thompson Dorfman Swetman from 1887.
Okay, so that's the third oldest Manitoba business. What's the fourth?
Well, back in March of this year, we discussed a wood planing mill, the first in Western Canada, that was founded in May 1872 by two carpenters, Alexander Brown and Thomas Rutherford. They operated a millwork business in Point Douglas for over 130 years until it was bought by a BC-based company and relocated to the outskirts of Winnipeg. That company's website states that, and this is a quote, "It has deep, rich historical roots here in Canada that can be traced back to 1872. Those roots are, of course, the company Brown and Rutherford."
Okay, so after that, what's the next oldest business?
Well, that would be a newspaper. Its first edition was published in November of 1872, but it wasn't the city's first newspaper. That distinction belongs to the Nor'wester that went back to 1859. But this one was the first newspaper to last. Known through its first 59 years of operation as the Manitoba Free Press, on the 2nd of December, 1931, it became the Winnipeg Free Press. Now, this is what I find interesting. I could find nothing in that first paper under the new name to explain the rationale for the change. And I think just as curious is that today the paper seems to be in the process of ditching the Winnipeg part of its name, because if you look at the front page, it says The Free Press. It doesn't say anything about Winnipeg at all now, so I don't know what the deal is there.
What's next up?
Well, there's a category in the hotel business called SRO, stands for single room occupancy. These are hotels for low-income people, typically occupied for long periods of time. There are several, or were several, SRO hotels in downtown Winnipeg. There was the Winnipeg from 1881. It's now closed. The Occidental from 1886. It's now the Red Road Lodge. And the Vendome from 1898. But the oldest of them, by a lot, was founded in 1878 as the Dufferin Hall. It was renamed in 1881 to its present name, the Woodbine Hotel. It fronts on Main Street, but eventually the building was lengthened to run all the way through to Albert Street, and at one point, at least, it advertised having the longest bar in the West. Now, I don't think that's true anymore, because the building has been reconfigured a bit, but a few weeks ago, some friends and I visited the Woodbine for a refreshing beverage, and I have to say, it really does offer impressive internal decor and quite reasonable prices.
Now, other than those two fur trade companies, all of these other companies have been based in Winnipeg. Are there any old companies in other places?
Well, although it's based in Winnipeg today, in 1879, the Theodore A. Burroughs Lumber Company operated a sawmill on Lake Winnipeg. Eventually, it would operate at a huge mill facility at Grandview. It acquired vast timber resources in northern Manitoba, and it operated 38 retail building supply stores across the prairie provinces. It was operated by the Burroughs family until 1954, until it was sold to outside parties. The present president, Jim Clark, bought it in 1976. And in fact, I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Clark and his wife a few months ago.
Okay, so by my count, I think we've covered seven old businesses. What's at number eight?
It is the aforementioned MLT Aikens, created in 2017 by the merger of Winnipeg-based Aikens, McCauley & Thorvaldsen with a Saskatchewan-based law firm, McPherson, Leslie & Tyreman, to become MLT Aikens. Its local founder, going back to 1879, was James Aikens, who later served as Manitoba's lieutenant governor. Another noted business that dates from 1879 has a connection to Manitoba's founding in 1870.
Who was that connection?
Well, in 1879, a gentleman named John Thompson arrived in Winnipeg, and he opened an undertaking parlor, you know, the place they would deal with people after they had passed away. By 1885, Thompson had become such a prominent member of the business community in Winnipeg that he was entrusted to provide burial services for the body of Louis Riel after his execution. So, you know, he was obviously well regarded as an undertaker. Three generations of the Thompson family were involved in the firm until the 1970s, and it operates today as the Thompson Funeral Home, although it's now part of a huge North American network that provides funeral cremation and cemetery services. So it's not quite the local business that it once was.
Okay, so I think you've taken us up to 1879. Is that all the Manitoba companies that date from the 1870s or earlier?
To my knowledge, yes. That's a complete list of the earliest Manitoba businesses that still exist today. Now, I'm willing to admit that it might not be the full list. I mean, there may be listeners that know of others, so if so, I will be glad to hear from you, because I do want to have a complete list if I can get one. And this is where we're going to stop for now, but there are numerous other businesses that date from the 1880s, most notably starting with the grain firm of James Richardson & Sons, of course, who have a very prominent presence here in Manitoba. We'll talk about these newer businesses in a future conversation, and another episode of Abandoned Manitoba will consider long-lived organizations, in other words, entities other than for-profit companies. But before we close, I should mention that the Manitoba Historical Society has a program that recognizes long-lived businesses. Called the Centennial Business Program, it presents an award to any Manitoba business that has been in continuous operation for 100 years or more. I encourage anyone knowing a candidate business or those wanting to see a list of centennial businesses that have already been designated to visit the MHS website at mhs.ca/ business.
Really interesting initiative. Thank you for highlighting that, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, we're going to walk the streets of Balder. It's number one on my list of Manitoba towns with a large number of historically significant buildings relative to their size. And I'm going to discuss Balder's impressive architectural heritage.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
See you next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.